meeting to order. Please note that assistive listening devices for use in the council chambers are available upon request from staff in the clerk's office. Please ensure that all cell phones are turned off or placed on silent. Are there any members of council who have to disclose pecuniary interest? Seeing none, the next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. I will read out the title associated with the items on the agenda. Members of general committee may ask that an item be held so that it can be further discussed. Please indicate your intention to hold an item by pressing your request to speak button. The first person on the list will be given the opportunity to speak first to that item. If an item is not held, the motion is deemed to be approved on consent. No further discussion of the item will take place at the meeting. The recommendation will go forward to council for our consideration at the next meeting. Item 3.1, Staff Report 2019-7, 2018 Enhanced Roads Program Debenture. Approved on consent. 3.2, Staff Report 2019-105, Proposed Community CAP Pilot Program, held by Councillor St. Clair. 3.3, Staff Report 2019-78, 2019 Town of Caledon Federal Election Priorities, held by Councillor St. Clair. 3.4, Staff Report 2019-107, Municipal Significance Designation for Special Occasion Liquor Permit, Play Ball for Cystic Fibrosis. Approved upon consent. 3.5, Staff Report 2019-108, Request for Support for a Manufacturer's Limited Liquor Sales License for Snowman Hill Brewing, 20727 Heart Lake Road. Approved upon consent. 6.1, Staff Report 2019-84, Metrolink's Discontinuance of Bolton Go Bus Routes, held by Councillor Groves. 6.2, Staff Report 2019-80, Update on Enhanced Roads Program and Emergency Repairs to Humberlee Storm Sewer. Approved upon consent. 6.3, Staff Report 2019-73, 2019 to 2024, Corporate Greenhouse Gas Reduction Framework and Annual Reporting. Approved upon consent. 6.4, Staff Report 2019-104, Proposed Animal Care and Control Bylaw. Approved upon consent. 7.1, Notice of Motion Regarding Rehabilitation of Town Roads. Held by Councillor Early. 7.2, Notice of Motion Regarding Blue Dot Campaign. Approved upon consent. 7.3, Notice of Motion Regarding Landscaping Request, Caledon Village, held by Councillor Kiernan. 7.4, Notice of Motion Regarding Vacant Land Taxation, approved upon consent. 7.5, Notice of Motion Regarding Traffic Calming, Bell Fountain, approved upon consent. 7.6, Notice of Motion Regarding Automated Speed Enforcement Systems, approved upon consent. 9.1, Confidential Staff Report 2019-100, Personal Matters About an Identifiable Individual Appeal Board Vacancy Appointment for the 2018-2022 Term. Anita Holder. Councillor DeBoer. And 9.2, Confidential Staff Report 2019-17, Personal Matters About an Identifiable Individual Caledon Walk of Fame 2019, held by Councillor DeBoer. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is presentations. I will now call upon Mr. Fu Wing Wong, General Manager of Finance and Infrastructure Services, to approach the podium to provide a presentation concerning the Improved Service Delivery Infrastructure Council Work Plan.
Thank you, Chair Innes. So the Council Work Plan was approved earlier this year, and at the Council meeting, more information was requested on the Roads Implementation Plan. So under the Improved Service Delivery category of the Council Work Plan, there is a goal of improving roads and long-term planning to maintain roads to a standard. This presentation provides more information on how the Finance and Infrastructure Services Department plans on programming work over the next few years to deliver on this Council Work Plan goal. The presentation is not meant to preempt budget discussions. We're making no recommendations right now. Budget requests will be discussed when the overall 2020 budget is presented to Council. So I'll spend the next few slides outlining the current state. The town has over 1,600 lane kilometers of roads, and it's shown in that table above there. So as a fun fact, if you drive from Caledon to Moncton, New Brunswick, it's the distance is about 1,577 kilometers. So every time we complete one full pass of roads during a snowstorm, our road operators collectively drive the distance from Caledon to Moncton. So the graph on this slide also shows the information from the current town asset management plan, which was presented to council earlier this year. Based on replacement costs, the town has $1.5 billion worth of assets. As shown on the graph on slide here, the largest asset class that the town has is in roads, which has $667 million based on replacement costs. This next graph also is from the asset management plan. It presents the same replacement information as seen on the previous slide, but also outlines, it breaks down further the condition of the assets. So for roads, we noted that the replacement cost is $667 million. In the roads network line, the red and the orange bars basically represent about $290 million, or about half of the $667 million. So it shows that about half of the road network, based on replacement cost, is in poor or very poor condition. In terms of road philosophy or strategy, this chart is commonly used to show that spending $1 early on in the road's life, while the road is still in fair condition, will save us $4 to $5 later on when the road falls into very poor condition. And it is based on this philosophy that the town started an enhanced road program in 2013-2014, where additional funds were allocated to roads for a shave and pave road program. I'll talk about this more a bit later on. But as shown in the previous slide, we are currently in the very poor condition in terms of our roads. So we've sort of gone beyond the traditional shave and pave program. So this is the final slide I'll have based on the asset management plan. So as shown to council earlier this year, the asset management plan actually makes a recommendation that we spend $20 million on an annual basis for the repair and replacement of our roads. To put this into context, the town's total tax-funded capital program is $20 million. And basically, that tax-funded capital program is not just for roads. It also includes fleet, fire, recreation, and so on. But also, more importantly, that $20 million is shared between infrastructure maintenance, so the repair, renewal, reinvestment in our existing infrastructure, and also new infrastructure, the growth-related program or development charge program that we provided an outline for in the last council meeting. So as we grow in terms of population and employment, we need new parks, recreation centers, libraries, fire stations to support that growth. And that $20 million is split between the maintenance of existing infrastructure and also the town share of growth-related infrastructure. Here's a chart that you're probably all familiar with by now, the tax-funded capital program. So the red bar shows the tax-funded capital program over the years from 2009 to 2019. And so when we collect property taxes, we allocate a portion of the property taxes we collect for operations, and that's reflected in the operating budget. And we also allocate a portion to capital, and that's in our tax-funded capital program. So as you can see, in 2009, we were at $3.4 million, our tax-funded capital program. And again, this is shared between the repair and replacement of infrastructure and growth-related infrastructure. And property taxes is one of the most sustainable forms of funding for our tax-funded capital program. You'll see over the years and prior to the 2000s or the 90s, there was a lot of grant funding, and grant funding goes away. So in terms of sustainable, property tax funding is sustainable. So we, over the last 10 years, we have increased the tax funded capital program from 3.4 to close to $20 million. Back in 2009, the $20 million target was based on our amortization or depreciation. So 2009-2010 was when all municipalities had to comply with the Public Sector Accounting Board PSAB 3150 requirements. So we all the municipalities started putting their assets on their books, just like private sector companies. And that's the point where we had amortization or depreciation for the first time. So we set that as an initial target, the $20 million, and that has been our target ever since. But now with the asset management plan, we now have the condition of those assets, and we now have replacement costs of those assets, because amortization is based on historical cost. And now that we have replacement costs and the condition of the assets, we have reset our target from the $20 million to $36 million, and that was shown earlier on this year. So aside from tax funding for the roads program, other funding sources include the federal gas tax, which is now a permanent program. And in 2020, the town's allocation of federal gas tax is estimated to be about $3.7 million. We also have a grant from the Ontario Community Infrastructure Fund, OCIF, and the town is anticipated to receive $1.4 million in 2020 from this grant. However, the town received a letter from the province on March 14, 2019, stating that the province is refining the OCIF grant program to support efficiency and value for money. So the letter goes on to say that the 2020 and 2021 grant allocations cannot be confirmed. So this is what I was saying earlier. There is uncertainty with grants, and the town has recommended since 2009, town staff have recommended that we continue to increase our tax-funded capital program so that it is sustainable. And rounding it out, we also have aggregate levy funding, and this is this fluctuates, but it's usually around $200,000 a year. And it fluctuates. It's collected from the aggregate producers or aggregate property owners in Caledon, so based on the amount extracted each year, and the town gets roughly about $200,000 each year that we allocate to the roads program. In terms of funding options in the short term, the town has the following options. So in 2019, this year, the federal government announced a one-time doubling of the federal gas tax funding. So this represents an additional $3.6 million one time that the town will be applying towards its 2020 roads program. The town also has a capital asset replacement reserve, which is formerly called the hydro reserve. So when the town sold its hydro assets, we allocated some of the funding towards the hydro reserve. And we use that to fund capital programs. I believe it was in the late 90s, early 2000s. And each of the capital programs included internal repayments. So the reserve would be replenished. And the 2020 balance of that reserve is anticipated to be about $14.8 million. And with those internal payments, the reserve will grow by $2.1 million per year. One of the other options that the town can look at is increase in debt financing for roads. So on today's agenda, there's a report to approve the issuance of debt for the 2018 Enhanced Road Program. So this chart on the slide here is taken from that report. The blue bars represent the debt servicing costs as a percentage of the town's net revenues. And the red line there shows the maximum allowed by the province in terms of, they call it the annual repayment limit. So the province allows a maximum of 25% of our net revenues to be used to fund debt servicing costs, so interest and principal payments. The town also has an internal policy that limits the debt servicing cost to be 10% of our net revenues. So as you can see, even with the proposed debt issuance in today's agenda, we are around 4.93%. So we're well below the 25% set by the province. And one of the options, again, we're not making any recommendations today, but one of the options, if you want to allocate more funding to roads, is to increase the debt financing for roads. So just as a what-if scenario, if we allocated $40 million to roads, $20 million in 2020 and $20 million in 2021, we anticipate our debt servicing costs would go from about the 4.9 that you see here to about 8.3 sometime in the next 10 years. So in the long term, tax funding increases to support the capital program, again, is reliable and once approved is sustainable. However, the implementation plan is not just to allocate more money at the issue. The town will also have to implement alternate methods of service delivery or alternate programs, especially for the roads that have lower traffic volumes. So traditional capital programs, road reconstruction and road rehabilitation, have costs including environmental assessments and design that range from about $500,000 to $1.7 million per kilometer of road reconstructed. So $500,000 is typically in your road rehabilitation, and a total reconstruction would be in the $1.7 million range per kilometer. So the $500,000 is the typical per kilometer for a rehabilitation, and for a total reconstruction, it's at around $1.7 million. So the reconstruction and rehabilitation programs also carry with it environmental assessments and design, which adds about a year to 2 years into the project. So there is a public process, depending on the impact to the environment, that we follow the rules for environmental assessments, and which means that construction doesn't start till 2 to 3 years after a budget is approved for some of these major road reconstruction rehabilitation programs. So even if we added more money to the budget starting in 2020, construction on some of these projects wouldn't start until 2022 to 2023. But having said this, over the last couple of years, the town has been doing more design and environmental assessment work so that we have shovel-ready projects in case there are any grant funding and so that we can be ready for additional funding to be allocated. But once we have allocated all the funding, any additional funding to these projects, then we're into that 2 to 3 year time lag again for some of these major projects. The town has, in the 2019 roads program, the town has about $23 million worth of roads in that program. So that includes tax funding, development charge funding, and grant funding. There are currently four engineering project managers coordinating the environmental assessments, designs, and construction. And this work includes coordinating with external agencies, such as the conservation authorities, the Ministry of Natural Resources and Fisheries, and the Niagara Escarpment Commission to obtain permits before work can start. It also includes organizing and holding public meetings if required under the EA process. And also, once construction starts, it also includes responding to complaints about dust, noise, and detours during construction. So simply allocating more dollars to the roads program will not result in improvements right away and also may require additional staffing resources. So also the shave and pave program. So as I noted earlier, in 2013-2014, the town started an enhanced road program that was funded by debt. Again, the philosophy was to maintain roads through a shave and pave maintenance program that, in order to delay roads from getting into a poor condition where more dollars would be required to be spent on major rehabilitation reconstruction projects. So as shown on this slide, unlike the road rehabilitation reconstruction projects, shave and paves generally can be done in the same year that the budget is approved. There's generally no studies or designs that are required, and however, the work only involves replacing the top coat asphalt. So we're not doing any subgrade work or any base work. So I believe about 2 years ago, I presented to council that the shave and pave program assumes that the base of the road is in good condition. We're finding that this is generally not the case. So, and also based on the asset management plan, I believe a lot of these roads have gone beyond the fair condition and are beyond the shave and pave program. So we will continue the shave and pave program where we can, but the enhanced road program, as I noted previously, now also supports a road rehabilitation reconstruction. In terms of some of the other alternative road programs that we're considering and proposing to bring forward and have implemented pilots for is something that we started for lower traffic volume roads in 2018 and 2019. It's the surface treatment or tar and chip program, which also includes base stabilization. So this program involves applying a thin protective wearing surface on the road. After this process, the road will have the qualities of a hard surface road. So in 2018, a surface treatment pilot program was started, and this was on Boston Mills between Mississauga Road and Credit View. In May, just last month, a memo was prepared outlining positive results from this pilot program, meaning that the road weathered well during the 2018-2019 winter season, and the town will be proceeding with the surface treatment on gravel roads, and will be starting to replace old surface treated roads in rural areas. So like the shave and pave program, the surface treatment program usually takes place or can take place the same year that the budget is approved. This assumes that the tender prices are within budget. Also with the same dollar, so if we compare the same dollars to do a reconstruction, a major reconstruction of 1 kilometer of road, if we use surface treatment on some of the lower volume roads, we can do about 10 to 15 kilometers using the same dollars. So one of the other things that we'll do after we implement a surface treatment program is we will actually implement a program to maintain it, to make that surface treatment last longer. And this is through a microsurfacing or slurry seal program. And it does is keeps the road in a good condition for a longer period. But you can only do this two or three times before you have to do a total reconstruction of that road. So you can't continue to maintain it using microsurfacing or slurry seal. Also, what we started off in the 2019 budget is a program to start the start of a four-year program to bring roads and other infrastructure in old and abandoned subdivisions to assumption stage. So this should help with the roads in those old and abandoned subdivisions. Almost done. So climate change has had a significant impact on the town's infrastructure. As an example, over a four-day period between February 1st and February 4th, the temperature changed about 32 degrees. It went from minus 19 on February 1st to about to plus 13 degrees Celsius on the 4th. So the more frequent freeze-thaw cycles creates more potholes and more road issues. Also, in the winter of 2018-2019, we also had many days of rain followed by freezing. There's one example where a gravel road that normally takes us 45 minutes to winter maintain took 3 hours. And it was 3 hours of the operator and a supervisor behind the operator because the operator was just struggling and supervisor had the truck behind the operator just to make sure that the car stayed well back and well behind the operator there. So climate change is having impacts to the way that we are dealing with operations, and we are planning to adapt to that in some of the things that we are doing, which is on the next slide. So some of the things that we're working on includes a post-winter road program, or a potential for a post-winter road program. So the town starts working on budgets around May, June, around this time. And the budgets are generally approved in December, but winter ends usually the following April or May. So some of the roads that may not have weathered the winter as anticipated require work that is not in the budget. So in 2018, and also on today's agenda in the notice of motion in section, there was and there is request for funding for a post-winter roads program for the roads that didn't weather well after this past winter season. This will allow sections of road or patches of road, not entire segments, to be pulverized and repaved or surface treated. And in some cases, these are only interim solutions until a full reconstruction can take place. Some of the other things that we're doing, or we have done, is we've changed the tender specification for our trucks. In the past, when the weather got really bad and we had to switch over to chains on our trucks, it used to take us 45 minutes per tire to take them off, put the chains on. But this meant about 3 hours that our trucks were out of service with chains being put on. So our tender specs now have changed where they have the technology now where you can just push a button and the chains automatically go on to the tires. So this immediately impacts our service levels where we no longer have to take every single truck off the road for 3 hours. That's 3 hours that it's not servicing the community. It just happens automatically now. So the town is also working on a community climate change action plan. We've established a community change action plan task force to guide with the plan update, and we've developed a series of working groups to determine the actions the town can undertake to mitigate and adapt to the changing climate. So in summary, additional funding will be required, and this will come through during budget discussions. However, more funding is only part of the implementation plan. And Chair Innes, that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, and I do have a list of speakers. Mayor Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Fuing, if we could go back to slide 8, please. So the one-time doubling of the federal gas tax, the $3.6 million, have we received that money yet?
Through Chair Innes, I just checked with the treasurer, and she said, yes, it's in our bank account already.
Okay. So I've already had some inquiries from the community saying, why aren't we putting that towards our road debt that we've acquired? But the 2018, it's too late to do something of that sort, correct?
So through you, Chair Innes, I guess one of the slides, I guess the question is, why did we not allocate that to roads in 2019 and start working on roads in 2019?
Right.
Yeah. So one of the things that is identified on this slide is we've got currently four engineers doing project management on a $23 million 2019 capital program for roads. We're at capacity in terms of the road reconstruction and rehabilitation. This also, the $23 million is just the 2019 program. We may also have some carryover roads from previous years that we need to complete. So that's part of it. And the other part is that we wanted to bring this through a fulsome budget discussion. So the money is still there. When we have our 2020 budget discussions, we will be recommending the roads that we want to use that additional money towards.
Okay. So my second question, go to slide 9. Can we park it into the capital budget so we can build that up some more for this year?
And through you, Chair Innes, that is one of the options that we can do, but given through the asset management plan, it identifies that about 50% of our roads are in poor or very poor condition. My recommendation would be to allocate that towards improving the road condition.
Okay. So my concern is road conditions. So we will find a solution this year that we can do road conditions. The impression I got was we just didn't have enough project managers to do roads. So what are you saying is like surface treatment or other roads that need like the shave and pave stuff, we can save something? Is that what you're thinking?
Through your chair, Ennis, it is multidimensional. So one dimension to improving the overall road condition is for the lower volume roads using a surface treatment program. And the other one is if we allocate to some of the larger road rehabilitation and reconstruction projects, we would also need additional resources to manage the additional programs.
And this can also help us with the offset of the increased price of asphalt that we've got this year. You know, because when we were first forecasting, we weren't counting on an 18% increase in bunker oil for asphalt. And then you got the carbon tax on top of that, I'm sure is not helping matters any either.
Through chairness, we are seeing an increased price, and that is reflected actually in one of the reports on today's agenda.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. The first question is on slide 4. We've got half the vehicles in poor shape, very poor shape, under your asset condition.
Through Chair Ennis, I'll have to look more at the details of that. My focus has been on the roads today.
Well, I think that's something that is important to kind of know too. Stormwater management on that same chart, we probably are in the fair to good and very good because most of that infrastructure is brand new, right?
Through Chair Ennis, in terms of relative life, it is in the early stages, but as part of the asset management, it does talk about how much we have to either spend or put away now so that when that infrastructure gets to the stage where it needs the repair and replacement, the dollars are there. So just because we don't need to spend the dollars now, we should start planning to set that money aside.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're saying that because listening to other people in this business, so to say, they're finding that some of these storm ponds aren't lasting as long as they were originally telling us. And with the storm events that we're having, we definitely need to start getting ahead of it because we could be as far behind as we are with the roads as we are with the storm ponds if we don't start getting ahead of it with all of the storm events plus what's really being found out about how these ponds are working. And the question, and you and I have had some discussions around it, but under the rehabilitation, you didn't include a pulverize and pave. You did the shave and pave and a pulverize and pave, and I've seen roads around the area that have been done with a pulverizing, and then they mix a tar or an emulsion in with the base, and then they pave over top of it. And I really think that we're missing on, especially these large projects that we've had both in my area on Old Church Road and now that I've been following on Castle Dirk Side Road, where a lot of the current material are there it's being removed and new material brought in to try and do a full reconstruction. And I'm just wondering, and maybe for the budget in the fall, whether a pulverize and pave as part of a rehabilitation program would fit better between what you're proposing here as a road rehab and the shave and pave, because if you're finding that the base in the shave and pave isn't holding out or is where the issue is, well, that's the way to use everything that we've got, that we've invested over the years, recycling it essentially, and then putting a new layer on top of it. And you see, I see a lot more of it happening around and not necessarily here. I'm just wondering whether you want to comment on that or whether...
Through Chair Ennis, the pulverize and pave option is something that we have, I believe, traditionally done for the post-winter program. So instead of doing a whole segment, we do the worst sections and we pulverize and pave. But that is certainly a great idea that we can consider and possibly incorporate into our 2020 budget. So I'll take that back and discuss that with staff.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Kiernan. Thank you. Through you, Chair Ennis. So I have a couple of questions, Fu Wing. Thank you very much for the presentation. First of all, let me see if I understand all of this. I understand the reconstruction costs And my question right there would be, I understand we can only do rehab so many times, but how long does a rehab last in a reconstruction last per kilometer? What's the value there?
Chair Innes, I'll have to confer with Ryan. Through Chair Innes, rehabilitation will be about 10 years and reconstruction is about 25 years.
And do you find in your experience, back to the engineers, that we're actually getting 25 years out of these? It's just cost-wise, value-wise.
Chair Innes, I'll ask Mr. Gradecki
to speak that's fine.
Through you, Chair Innes, to Councillor Kernan. In terms of the 25 years, once the road is reconstructed, that assumes that there's a good asset management plan in place as well to make it last 25 years. So the town historically has not fully reconstructed roads, aside from new roads that have been built in subdivisions and things like that. So we haven't really had the data to kind of evaluate that, but industry standards is about 25 years with good asset management.
Okay, thank you. Another question. Maybe you should stay, Ryan. So the shave and paves and the surface treatments, they're, I guess, what we would call a quick fix, but they can be done quicker as well. Is that correct? Yeah.
Chair Innes, I wouldn't call them a quick fix. In some cases, they're a quick fix, but they are, for the low-volume roads, an appropriate way of treating those roads.
So do we do those in anticipation of a more fulsome repair going forward? So are they an interim base? Are they an interim measure?
Yeah, and Chair Innes, in some cases on the higher volume roads, they could be an interim fix until we actually can get to that road in terms of reconstruction or rehabilitation. But on the lower volume roads, they could last about 10 years just doing a surface treatment.
Okay, but and I think, if I'm not correct, we can only do a surface treatment so many times, and then there's a limited time, right?
Yeah, through maintenance programs, we can extend them, but after a certain number of times, we have to do a rehabilitation or reconstruction.
Okay, as you know, we've got some pretty bad roads out there, and it's probably what everybody hears, and it's conversations you and I have had, and Steve and whatnot, so I'm happy to see these things come forward. Thank you very much.
Councillor Early.
Thanks very much for the presentation. I know what your desk has been like recently. Can you just go back? Oh, you're on slide four. My question is, and I have a feeling you might have this anyways, there's a map that I saw in another presentation that lists all the roads in Caledon. Do we have a map that sort of depicts what's in the red zone, yellow, blue, and green? So what I mean is by road that we could see as councillors, what's in the red, what's in the blue?
Through you, Chair Innes, I believe we do have, this is based on our condition assessment, so we do have that information, yes.
I think, at least for myself, some others may find it beneficial as well, but I think that would be very beneficial when we're talking with our residents to at least understand the condition of their road. So if that was a possibility to get for us, that would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, and I will work on getting that. One of the things that I'd like to just make clear, though, is the pavement condition index that's assigned to roads, it's measured objectively. So we have a vehicle, I think I talked about this previously, that drives around all the roads in Caledon and takes measurements and takes video and so on. And then those roads are assigned an index. That's not to say that one, like a section of road or a patch of road outside someone's house is not bad. But when you look at that entire segment, it may be in fair condition. So there may be spots that are not so good, but overall it may receive a fair condition. And that's you have to keep in mind that the ratings are based on segments overall.
I still think it might be beneficial for us when we're talking or discussing their road with a resident that we can say that we potentially need a patchwork a fix on that road, but that overall that condition might be fair. I just think it's going to give us a little bit of an assistance. And my second question is on emergency pieces. And I know a lot of us councillors have spoken that, you know, that we've got roads in our wards where it's become hazardous. And I know hazardous means different, you know, a different word to other people and to residents. But when something is deemed an emergency, how long before we can pulverize that and get that fixed? And I guess in my ward, we had a road where I just think it's gone too long. I really appreciate that it's scheduled to be pulverized, but I'm just curious, is there a better process for us in the future given all that we're going through with roads?
Through Chair Innes, we are guided by the minimum maintenance standards set by the province, and we will always make sure that the town the town's roads comply to the minimum maintenance standards. In terms of going beyond and rehabilitating a road faster or doing additional work to a road faster, we will always look to budget, and in cases where we don't have budget, we may actually just pulverize the road and leave it in that condition until we have budget. But one of the things that we talked about, or I talked about in this presentation, is the post-winter program that we'll start implementing. It started in 18, and there's a notice motion today, and if we incorporate it into future budgets, that can probably take care of a lot of these, where some of the worst roads where they did not make it through the winter that well, we have dollars to, on a patch basis, perhaps pulverize and repave right away. But this is also, and I understand some of the concerns about the timeliness of some of this work. I believe we talked about this before, that we have had a prolonged winter this year, which has prevented us from doing work a lot earlier.
Gotcha. And I think you alluded to it, but I think that you're looking for some good fulsome discussions prior to the budgeting process this year, and I think around roads, so I'm really looking forward to that as well. Appreciate all that you've done with this presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Wong. Now move to staff report 2019-105, proposed community cap pilot program. That the proposed community cap pilot program outlined in staff report 2019-105 be approved. That staff be authorized to draw up to $5,000 from the town's animal services contingency reserve fund to fund the 2019 community cap pilot program. That the supervisor animal services be delegated authority to enter into agreements with local caretakers permitting the program. Regarding the program, and that staff report back on the progress and impact of the community cap program as part of a future budget. I need a mover and a seconder. Moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Kiernan, and this item was held by Councillor St. Clair.
Cap program. I had a previous experience on council on a similar topic of cat colonies, and I can recall a couple of very well-meaning ladies from Bolton concerned about a cat colony behind a pizza joint called Baffo's in downtown Bolton, and they wanted to collect up the cats and give them shots and neuter them and then declaw them and drop them out on township side roads. And I pointed out to them very gently that they wouldn't be able to feed themselves if they didn't have claws. Coyotes would eat them, or great horned owls. And asked them to go away and rethink their strategy. They never came back. And I see the same problem here. If there's cat colonies in parts of Bolton, I have the same thinking that I had about cat colonies behind Baffo's. Cat colony equals no rodents, no vermin. That's a good thing. So the cats must be out there eating something. And they probably don't get too far beyond Bolton because coyotes come in and eat them. They'll come and eat someone's cat right off the kitchen windowsill. That's normal. So I'm wondering what on earth we're attempting to achieve here. Collect all the cats and clean them up and put them back out there with claws? I don't see how that solves a cat problem, if it is a problem at all. And I found the report really didn't define what the problem was. So in that case, I won't be supporting the motion. Thank you.
Miss Hall, did you want to? Do you want to address
don't
the two
call
issues
me that,
raised?
Not the cat lady. Through Chair Innes, two members of council. So through the public open house that we held for the actual animal care and control bylaw, what we did receive was a lot of feedback from local cat caretakers within the communities. The community that currently look after cats, and what they were finding is, and there's definitely, and maybe the report doesn't highlight it, there's definitely a lot of research that points to if you have a community cat program within your community where you're taking in cats that are essentially homeless but have established colonies, what you're really trying to do is neuter, spay them to control that population from getting out of control. Certainly coyotes and other predators will prey on the cats. That's something that is you can't avoid, but what we're really trying to do is to keep the population to a minimum by looking after these cats. And we do have quite a lot of caretakers that are present and do attend these colonies on a daily basis to look after them, make sure they're fed and they're not causing a nuisance. So that is essentially the objective of the program. It's a program that's pretty much available across many communities in Ontario, in the country, and even in the states. And the report does indicate there has been a lot of success in keeping that population down. I know that, and Councillor Groves may remember, there's a lot of residents in Bolton, too, that do contact us on the nuisance that feral homeless cats do create, because if they're not looked after, they're not fed, they're going to get into different residences, and they sometimes will go after birds. They'll try to get into restaurants and things like that. So if we can work with the caretakers, have them looked after in what we can provide, and having them spayed, neutered, and have a relationship with those caretakers, the objective is to bring down those nuisances and to try to control the population. Does Caledon have a overpopulation of feral cats? No. But it's an opportunity for us to be proactive and to get ahead of some situations that we see in Toronto and other areas where they are a nuisance and a problem.
Thank you. Councillor Danny.
Thank you, through you, Chair. I think when we, as Councillor Sinclair outlined, when we live rurally, we have a kind of a different perspective on that, because cats, especially around farm properties and rural properties, tend to become a dime a dozen, especially with the coyote population. However, I also agree with Councillor Sinclair that they are necessary in the urban areas, just in terms of that cyclical, you know, rodent population and all of that. So I think it's important. But as you said, I support the report because of the fact that we need to have that relationship and we need to keep that population somewhat in check. So I'm happy to support it from that perspective. Thank you.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you, through you, Chair. Yes, and as Ms. Hall alluded to, we did have some complaints from Bolton, a lot of complaints from many residents in Bolton a few years back. And we said we would look at doing this pilot because we looked at other municipalities that have done this, and it works. And so here we are after, I don't know how long it's been, Laura, 3 years or so. Oh, okay. A year and a half. Okay. It seems longer. Yeah. So anyway, I am going to support the pilot as well. I don't think there's any harm in running this pilot. Thank you.
Seeing no other speakers, moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Kiernan. All those in favor? Any opposed? Carried. Thank you, Ms. Hall. 3.3 Staff Report 2019-78, 2019 Town of Caledon Federal Election Priorities at the Town of Caledon Priorities related to the 2019 federal election as identified in Staff Report 2019-78 be endorsed. I need a mover and a seconder. Moved by Councillor Groves, seconded by Councillor DeBoer. This item was held by Councillor Sinclair. Sorry, Councillor Sinclair, can you turn your mic on, please?
Thank you. Wrong button.
Thank you.
Now, the report suggests staff are going to do all the thinking for council on all these priorities, give us a memo, and we've got to go off and present it to the province without any debate among council members. I think that's a poor way to make policy. And I think would think you'd need some mechanism to have a discussion among members of council before we go to AMO in August. Thank you.
Mr. Arbuckle, did you want to?
Through you, Chair Innes. I believe Councillor Sinclair was referring to the memo for AMO. Is that correct? Because we're talking about the item on the agenda right now is the federal election.
Is the federal election. Did you mean the federal election or the provincial AMO? Sorry, your mic's not on again. Sorry.
Same issue is... there's been no discussion among members of council of what our priorities should be.
So I think this is the opportunity. So the way that it's always been handled in the past is that staff would work to bring forward priorities. Then they would come to our attention and we would discuss. We could add, change, remove, prioritize. This is the opportunity for that discussion to occur. There has to be some sort of base for us to have that conversation. I think that is what this report is doing. So if there's additions or comments or changes, revisions that would be suggested, now is the time to bring those forward. Mayor Thompson.
Okay. So I see where our election priorities, but I think there's one thing that's a little different, and I think we have to push extremely hard on is the broadband connectivity. And I know you tapped on it a little bit in the memo, but I think that is a key priority. We definitely heard this in the municipal elections. And this is something that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the feds are the ones with all the money anyway. And I know they have made some commitments, but it's not near enough, but it's vital to keep our communities intact without losing our brain drain. And we need to definitely do that. And I also do believe that I know you tapped on a little bit on affordable housing and seniors housing, but I think we got to figure out how we can allow. We need help through them because it's part of their department is seniors aging in place. And if you look at it, those are the infrastructure program they understand. But I think we, even though we know they're committed, we have to let them know that it's still a big priority. And I think that's where we really need to push hard on. Going forward, I appreciate the report, but I know with what we're asking, but I think as Caledon, I understand where reach and appeal is. They're at the 10,000 foot level, but at the ground level, I think we really got to push hard. What is the federal members should be bringing to the table here? And I think that's something that we need to definitely get out there. And I mean, as councillors, we all heard that when we're out on the road within the last year.
And just to follow on the heels on that, it's mentioned in here, but I think we should be asking for them to also deem it an essential service. It should be one step further. So right now it just says to invest in broadband internet access for rural communities. We need the feds and the province to come to the table and deem it an essential service. So those people that actually have the broadband going by their homes or businesses have the right to tap into it. Mr. Arbuckle.
What we'll do is there's broad-based language in relation to the report in areas that we feel have a direct federal impact. So we'll look specifically to what council has endorsed in relation to the wording. I believe council has already endorsed a position that calls for that to be an essential service. So mm-hmm. We would ensure that that's in our communication to the federal parties.
We Perfect. Need to emphasize it. I think that's what Councillor Innes is trying to say.
Understood.
We need to really push hard.
Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. One of the topics that does come up in our industry from time to time, and it isn't caught here, and I just wonder whether, as a community, Caledon, whether we shouldn't be starting to ask the province to push for natural gas and expanding natural gas and having it available through more areas of Caledon. I know that a number of people, like the estate residential area, and there's a number of areas in Caledon that does have natural gas, and the cost for heating the homes is a whole lot cheaper. I think for agriculture and the industry that we have, it does support the agricultural industry in providing a cheap, efficient way service, for example, corn dryers, and as opposed to propane. But it also, I think, in thinking big picture down the road, I think it still provides an opportunity for renewable fuels. And that if we had a network of natural gas pipelines throughout the province, agriculture could actually, and for example, landfill, any places that generate methane, could be pumping and servicing into the natural gas grid and providing services. So I'm just wondering whether we could have something, and I know our environmental, not here anymore, I don't think. No, so whether there's some information there that could actually support a cleaner environment, because the other option we have in Caledon is oil. And we definitely know that that isn't a clean way to heat your homes.
So, through Chair Innes to Councillor DeBoer, so within the Council Work Plan, there is a position specifically that outlines support for agriculture and agricultural business, including advocating natural gas service extension to agricultural properties. So, we can ultimately advocate that to the federal level as well.
Thank you. Councillor Early.
Yeah, I just wanted to support Councillor DeBoer, but not just for agricultural purposes, for homes. I've had residents just recently where they're, you know, 1.5 kilometers from the Brampton border, if you will, from Mayfield Road, and there's gas there, and we're having to use propane in so many cases. The expense is huge. So anything, I just wanted to make sure I supported what Councillor DeBoer said, because I think it's something that would be a great win for our residents for sure. Thanks.
Thank you. And I do have a recommendation for an amendment that I will need a mover and a seconder for, but I think that we're missing the fact that this actually needs to be circulated to those candidates that are running in Dufferin Caledon specifically. So in it, you have it that you're sending it to the party leaders. That's great. But we need to know that those that are actually running to be our member of parliament understand what Caledon's priorities are. So I do need a mover and a seconder to add that. Moved by Councillor Early, seconded by Mayor Thompson. All those in favor? Carried. It's the party leaders, but yeah. Is there anything else? Okay. So motion as amended, moved by Councillor Groves and seconded by Councillor DeBoer. All those in favor? All those opposed? Carried. Item 6.1, Staff Report 2019-84, Metrolink's discontinuance of Bolton Go bus routes. That the Mayor sent correspondence to the Minister of Transportation requesting that the cancellation of the Bolton Go bus service be delayed and re-examined, and that staff be directed to work with the Ministry of Transportation and Metrolink's to assist in the re-examination. I need a mover and a seconder. Moved by Councillor Rosa, seconded by Councillor Groves. And this item was held by Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I just want to say thank you to Mr. Chan for the meeting you had last Thursday. I am so sorry that you were the messenger and you got shot. But I want to thank you for all your hard work. You must have been wearing a bulletproof vest, so. Anyway, thank you for working with the community. I know that this is a huge issue for our residents. I'm really surprised that the minister would actually just cut a service and leave people stranded. These are people that need to get to work. These are people that need to get to school. And we have absolutely nothing. I see that the folks in Nobleton and King, they had options. We have zero. You know, I'm not sure what the minister was thinking, but I don't think that he was thinking. So I'm happy to support this. And I also want to thank Mayor Thompson for his advocacy on this as well. I know that you've been working hard with the minister and trying to get this postponed. June 29th is just around the corner. These people don't have any other means of transportation. And I know that at Regional Council last Thursday, Regional Council was fully supportive, and the chair will be writing a letter to the minister. We've got Mayor Brown on side as well, helping us with the advocacy here. So thank you, Eric, for the work that you've done and the work that you're continuing to do on this issue. And I do have an amendment, Chair.
Yes.
So can I go ahead and read the amendment?
Yep.
Okay. I just want to ask one question, though, before. Where is our MPP on this? Because we really need to have her pushing this. So what's been her involvement?
Mr. Wong?
Through Chair Innes, I believe we asked the MPP Jones to assist us with making a connection at Metrolinx, and I believe her office has helped us make that connection. So we have been trying to reach a director level at Metrolinx to have this conversation. But certainly through the minister's office, work through the minister's office will certainly help in our efforts there.
Thank you, and I'm going to ask that we continue to work with MPP Jones because she is a minister, and I'm sure she carries a lot of weight down in Queen's Park. So we need her in step with us. So the amendment that I have is that the following paragraph be added. We've got a petition here, I think of 500 names or so, that the petition received by the Town of Caledon requesting that Metrolinx stop the cancellation of bus route 38/38A be forwarded to the Honourable Jeff Urich, Minister of Transportation.
Thank you. Can I have a seconder, Councillor Rosa? I'm going to clear the board and just discussions to the amendment. Are there any discussions to the amendment? Mayor Thompson.
So Councillor Groves is quite right, but I think what I would like to do is if I could just amend this, that we also send this to Sylvia Jones as well, our minister, because at the end of the day, she's the one that needs to be held accountable to it. This is the issue. What we're trying to do is get the data, you know, it's what we learned from the residents. We're trying to get data from the residents so that we can be, you know, shove the information forward. So that's why I think it should be very important that we have.
So, Mayor Thompson, why don't we add two amendments? We'll do this one first.
Okay.
And then we can add another amendment.
Fair enough.
Okay. Okay. So, moved by Councillor Grove, seconded by Councillor Rosa. All those in favor? Carried. And then we'll put forward on another amendment. Moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Groves. No, it's you want Minister Jones to take the.
Yeah.
We want
to make sure we have Minister
Jones. Caledon Council request the assistance of Solicitor General Jones. So funny. In advocating for the residents of Caledon and surrounding area. Is that good? Okay. All those in favor? Carried. So now back to the main motion as amended. Are there any other speakers? Councillor Rosa.
I'd just like to take this opportunity again to thank Mr. Chan for all your hard work on this issue. This is really important to our residents, and I appreciate all of your work. I'd also like to thank Mayor Thompson for your advocacy and your leadership on this issue. I can't tell you how many times I've heard from, especially from students who are planning post-secondary in the fall, who had planned already to use this service, and now they have no answers to how they're going to get to school. So I really appreciate your leadership on that, and I also support all the amendments because I feel it's important to get this information to everybody who can try to get on board and trying to find a resolution to this issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor, okay. Okay, another speaker's on the board. I too will just say thank you to Mayor Thompson for taking the lead and advocating for the residents in that area. I think it's important that our residents know that this is a provincial jurisdiction. And while we held the meeting, and thank you, Mr. Chan, I heard that you got a little beat up, and unfortunately most of us could not be there because of the short notice of the meeting. We all had prior commitments, and it's important that those residents' voices be heard, and I would hope that that information is relayed to our MPP. It is her responsibility, and she should be advocating on behalf of our community. So with this motion going forward, it's great that Minister Jones connected us with Metrolinx, but we need her to do more. As our MPP, she should be championing this matter. So I'm sorry I cannot take questions or comments from the audience. That being said, are there any other... Oh, Mayor Thompson.
No? Real quick, Madam Chair, I want to ask both of these gentlemen to be stand up and recognize they did take a hit for the town, but you know what? You did your job. That's you were doing what you needed to do to help the residents, even though with frustration, they don't understand which level of government is responsible for it. You took the data, the information that we needed to be able to push back to the province. Thank you, and we all really appreciate everything you did. Thank you. You can continue.
Okay. Main motion as amended, moved by Councillor Rosa, seconded by Councillor Groves. All those in favour? Carried. Thank you. Next item is notice of motions. 7.1, Councillor Kiernan, regarding rehabilitation of town roads, whereas the capital budget is developed annually based on best available information at the time, including pavement condition information, coordination with regional and other projects, and completion of design environmental assets if required, whereas the 2018-2019 winter has resulted in damage to roads that are not on the list of roads to be reconstructed in 2019, whereas some roads may have to be pulverized back to gravel until after the approval of the 2020 budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved that a new 2019 capital project in the amount of $650,000 for the rehabilitation of town roads funded from the tax-funded capital contingency reserve be approved, and that staff be authorized to determine the roads and scope of the new capital project based on the current five-year road rehabilitation forecast, the condition of roads following the recent winter, and a goal of construction of road improvements occurring in 2019. I need a seconder. Seconded by Councillor Groves, and this item was held by Councillor Early.
Thanks. Thanks. I'm all for road improvement. So I just a couple of questions is, first off, and I'm not sure if this is to Mr. Wong or who, but how was $650,000 determined? And based on your presentation, it sounds to me that given that you are at max capacity from a resourcing perspective with your engineers both on rehabilitation and reconstruction, is this even something that can be utilized during this last part of the year?
Mr. Wong?
Through Chair Innes, those are great questions. So I'll answer the capacity one first. So the staff capacity issue that I discussed in my presentation was for major road rehabilitation and reconstruction projects. This is really the program that I talked about, where it's just a patch of the road that is being possibly pulverized and then repaved. So from a capacity point of view, that we rely on our contractors to do that. So I believe that we have the capacity. In terms of how the 650 was arrived at, we have based on our existing list, we have an idea of what roads we want to tackle, and we also have an idea of what the prices will be, but that's all still contingent upon the tender pricing coming in. I believe the asphalt pricing and asphalt work on an as-required, as-needed basis, I believe that tender is closing sometime this week.
Great. And so I would assume in 2020 this would be part of your post-winter program, just we don't have that program in place right now?
Through Chair Innes, that is likely what we will be proposing, but as I mentioned, I don't want to preempt any budget discussions at this time.
Perfect. That makes great sense to me. I can support this motion then. Thank you.
Councillor DeBoer?
Is the staff going to make the locations or the where you're going to choose to do the work, make the decisions as to what needs to be done first? Because the $650,000 might not address all of the needs. So I'm just wondering if there's a process that you're planning on using similar to a similar assessment process, what you do to pick roads to begin with.
Through Chair, and that is correct. It is very similar to that process, but one of the main things that we're doing that is slightly different is that that other process requires a vehicle to travel all the roads in Caledon to do that assessment, and that takes a lot of time to pull together all that data. This, we know which roads didn't make it through the winter. We have staff that travel the roads all the time, and based on their assessments and so on, we will be allocating those dollars to those roads. And again, it's based on the tender pricing. So once all the tenders close, we can update council as to which roads we will be proceeding with.
And is the process, you talked about pulverize and pave, but at one time we did do these patch concrete or asphalt patches where it was the leading edges were ground out, and then we just paved over top of them, and by grinding out the leading edges, that allowed to get an inch and a half of pavement at the front and at the back, and then we just paved over it. We didn't do the grinding, but that program left a few years ago, I think, now. Is it similar to that, or is it more involved?
Through Chair, and I'll have Mr. Dahlmeier talk to you separately to talk about the exact details. The pulverize and pave is one option. We also could use some of the $650,000 to enhance the surface treatment, for example. So it will be multiple programs depending on the situation. But in that, your specific question, I'll have Mr. Dahlmeier talk to you afterwards.
Okay, and I'm good to see, like, this is a one-off for the motion, but I think when we have budget, we need to really talk about it. I think your presentation talked about it, and I think you addressed it as well. Thanks.
Thank you. Moved by Councillor Earley, seconded by Councillor Groves. All those in favor? Councillor Kiernan, seconded by Councillor Groves. All those in favor, Carried. Seven point three, moved by Councillor Kiernan regarding landscaping request, Calvin Village, whereas Council adopted a motion February 2018 to address the curbing and landscaping at the James Street Road Allowance in Calvin Village. Whereas to date this work is outstanding, whereas the temporary concrete planters placed to restrict access to James Street are being used as garbage bins. Whereas this is negatively impacting abutting residential properties, now therefore be it resolved that staff be directed to complete the landscaping and curbing, that this include the removal of the temporary concrete planters, including planting coniferous trees, and the extension of curbing to block access to James Street. I need a seconder. Councillor Sinclair. This item was held by Councillor Kiernan.
Thank you. Through you, Chair Innes. Just a bit of history here, because this one does have some history. This has been going on for some time. Project that was approved in 2018, February, that didn't seem to make it onto the schedule to have the work done. Very unhappy residents, been going on and on. So although a very flawed process to get to this, I do actually have another amendment, can we put that up on the screen?
You can go ahead and read it.
Okay, thank you. And to fellow councillors, that paragraph 6 be deleted and replaced with the following. That the parks manager, parks landscape architect consult with Ward 1 councillors regarding the design of the project, and that all works related to this project be completed by October 1, 2019. This is not a big project. It's a $10,000 project. It should be a pretty straightforward. We're trying, in conversation with the resident, we've got some reasonable expectations, I think, now, and some great suggestions. Councillor Sinclair and I attended the site again yesterday, and I'm confident that we can get this done with the support, of staff to move this process forward and the support of council. So I'll leave the floor open to questions.
So I need a seconder for that amendment. Councillor Sinclair. Are there any questions or comments with regards to the amendment?
Oh, no.
Okay. All those in favor of the amendment? Carried. Now back to the main motion as amended. Any comments, questions, or concerns? Councillor Early?
Just one. So, and I think I understand, the $10,000, though, was part of the 2018 budget. And so, that's okay. So where is the 10,000 is coming from, where, for the 2019 budget?
Mr. Wong?
Thank you, Chair Innes. I was waving my hand because I did want to ask that question, a similar question. The notice of motion, as it's written, does not allocate additional funding to any additional work. So the monies that we have so far, we anticipate only having $1,000 remaining from the original $10,000. So if additional work is required, then I would recommend that additional funding be allocated.
So if the project wasn't completed to the scope that it was supposed to be done and the money's allocated to it, why is there A, only $1,000 left over, and B, what happened to that money?
Chair Innes, I'm sorry if I didn't make myself clear on that. So the work was not done. $10,000 was allocated. It's still there. We anticipate that it will cost $9,000 to put in the curb, the sod, and the soil and the sod. If there is plans to do anything additional to the sod and the soil, then additional funding would have to be allocated.
So the planting of coniferous trees were not part of the original design?
That is correct.
Okay. Councillor Kiernan.
I just also wanted to comment on that. No, the project has not even been started. So although, and I understand Mr. Wong's perspective, the $9,000 has been budgeted out. But depending on what, these consultations between parks manager, depending on what can come of that, that $9,000 is not a set in stone figure at this point. You know, whether we issue going with sod and whether we keep the planters there, these are all right now options that are potentially on the table. So that's what we are trying to achieve, is to start and finish this project within the $10,000 budget to the satisfaction of everyone.
Are there any other Councillor Early?
So that makes sense to me. So what we're saying is we're trying to make the best out of what's there. I did go to the site, so I do understand the planters. But what if you meet with our chief designer or our landscaping designer and you have to go over that $9,000, then does it have to come back to this table for the additional funding? So I'm just curious.
It might have to, I guess, yeah. But at this point, I'm sorry.
Mr. Galloway.
Yeah, through you, Madam Chair, I think the way that we'll deal with this, considering the motion and if council does approve it, is that you've got $10,000 and the parks architect will work on a redesign, essentially. And in the event, well, my direction to him is going to be you have $10,000. And it's not a penny more because that's the budget that's being set aside. And move forward from there. And it may be a bit of a redesign, considering council has already passed a resolution on a previous design, but that's fine. That was the previous council. This is the new council. So I think we leave it $10,000. There'll be some work done with the parks architect. Staff will ultimately have to approve it, no doubt, to ensure that it meets the standards under some of the legislation that comes into play, and that $10,000 then would be expended to construct it by October, what was it, 1st? Yeah, so I think it's as easy as that, in my mind at least. So I'll leave the impression with the parks architect that it shall cost no more than $10,000, yes.
Thank you. Councillor Sinclair.
Yes, thank you. This area is somehow an unresolved exit design for Tim Hortons at Caledon Village. And the south entrance has an extra wide apron because it was part of a local road. And what's happening, our tow truck operators are parking there and enjoying a beverage and tossing the cups out the window. Garbage is flowing onto the neighbor's property. There are three empty, large empty planters, concrete planters. They're filling up with coffee cups and debris. In addition, very large dump trucks are stopping for a coffee at Tim Hortons and parking there and leaving the engines rumbling away while they do that. So the the area needs to be resolved. And it could well be that the $10,000 gets us a solution for the truck parking and most of the landscaping. And yeah, you know what? Maybe we come back for next year's budget and ask for a bit of money for some trees. But that's not determined yet. So we're going to do the best we can. Thank you.
Councillor DeBoer.
If the issue is parking, and I defer to the representative of the area, would a no parking area around there on the street not solve some of the problems? And I would leave it to discussing with the community and the residents, because it sounds like it's the trucks and the tow trucks parking on the side of the road, leaving the litter. And if it's the highway tractors that are there, that's, if I remember, the street is fairly narrow, and I don't think that's a location for that either. So, but I would just leave that as a suggestion when you work through the project as to whether that's a solution or not.
Mayor Thompson.
Councillor DeBoer, that was the original solution, and even the signs were getting chucked, or they were back over the sign with the trucks. So it was, it's been a problem, and the only way we can do is put a curb through there, close the old James Street Road off, and get there. But we had to negotiate with the property owner, redo the site plan. There's just been a number of things, and then all of a sudden we've had to deal with Ontario Hydro that put a pole where they weren't supposed to, and then the post office box or whatever it was. But it was just seemed to just be one thing on another just added up on top of it. So I think this is why we've just had to find some extra money and just fix it once and for all. But they've already been through that exercise, and it's failed miserably. And you just can't have police there all the time. That's the problem.
Thank you. Okay. Seeing no other questions, the only question that I have of Mr. Wong is, why is it outstanding?
It was on the concrete program for 2018. The concrete contractor ran out of time, so it couldn't be done. It wasn't the only thing that wasn't done in 2018. There were sidewalks that couldn't be done also before the fall.
So are those all of those outstanding items on the list as a priority for the beginning of this year?
Chair, and they are priorities. Anything that was outstanding from 2018 in terms of concrete work are priorities for 2019. I believe we have gone out to tender for a new concrete contractor.
So in the future it might be helpful to the ward councillors that when there's outstanding items that didn't get completed in the budget, that those councillors are actually notified that those items were not fulfilled. Because now I'm questioning what items in my ward weren't fulfilled in 2017 or 2018. So I don't know if I can leave that as direction to staff. That I think that would be helpful in us.
Yes, we can get you some information. You're the chair of this committee, so all yours, I'm sure we're done.
I'm not buying that one. Oh. I'll just leave that as direction for Mr. Wong. I think that it would be helpful, whatever was left over from 2018 that didn't get completed, that those councillors and the mayor be made aware of those items. Because it's unfortunate, I'm sure that Councillor Kiernan and Councillor St. Clair probably stumbled upon this fact, and it shouldn't happen that way. Those councillors should be notified at the end of year what items were not completed and why, and ensuring that they're on the time for the following year. So moved by Councillor Kiernan, seconded by Councillor St. Clair, as amended. All those in favor? Carried. The next item on the agenda is correspondence. Is there anything on the correspondence package that requires action? There is a request, item 8.1.1, for a delegation for Headwaters Healthcare Center.
Yes.
Mayor Thompson, you'll move that?
Yes.
So moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Kiernan.
And also for the Blue Dot one as well.
Okay, I'm just doing one at a time.
Awesome.
There was no request to delegate for Blue Dot.
Okay.
That the request be presented, submitted by Headwaters Healthcare Center, be approved. All those in favor? Carried. Kiernan, did anybody else want to hold any of the other items? Councillor DeBoer.
The memorandum or the correspondence with regards to the blue dot is with the motion or connects to the motion that was approved on consent.
Yes. That's correct. Anything else? Okay, we will now, the following motion is required to go into confidential session. That council shall go into confidential session under section 239 of the Municipal Act for the following purposes. 9.1, confidential staff report 2019-100, personal matters about an identifiable individual, appeal board vacancy appointment for the 2018-2022 term. And 9.2, confidential staff report 2019-17, personal matters about an identifiable individual, Caledon Walk of Fame. Moved by Councillor Downey, seconded by Councillor Kiernan. All those in favor? Carried. Council will now move into confidential session. Members of the public in attendance are welcome to wait until the conclusion of the confidential session, at which time the public portion of the meeting will continue. I'm going to go get a cookie. Do you guys want to take a quick recess?
Sure.
5 minutes. While we're the following motion is required to resume into open session. The council resume in open session. Moved by Councillor Kiernan, seconded by Councillor Downey. All those in favor? All those in favor? Yay. Carried. Motions resulting from confidential session, confidential staff report 2019-100, personal matters about an identifiable individual, appeal board vacancy appointment for the 2018-2022 term, that Mr. P. Dillon be appointed to the vacant position for the appeal board for the 2018-2022 term of council. Moved by Councillor Downey, seconded by Councillor Early. All those in favor? Carried. Confidential staff report 2019-17, personal matters about an identifiable individual, Caledon Walk of Fame 2019, that Johnny Wayne be recognized as the 2019 honoree for the Caledon Walk of Fame. Moved by Councillor Grove, seconded by Councillor DeBoer. All those in favor? Carried. That concludes this meeting. General Committee is now adjourned, and dinner will be served at 5 p.m. in the cafeteria.